So for this week, for just a random television show to go check out, this is a case of a show where if you had asked me, like, hey, do you know this show? I'd say, like, oh yeah, I know all about that show. And then as I started looking into it a bit, I realized I don't know anything about this dang show. It's the Andy Griffith Show. So I assume you're familiar with Andy Griffith.
The Andy Griffith Show. I remember seeing the Andy Griffith Show, and its claim to fame now is the kid in it. God, oh, he's a director big time. What is his name?
Yeah, that's one of the many things I didn't know about this show is yeah, his name is Opie and his real name is Ron Howard from Happy Days.
Ron Howard. That's right. Ron Howard got his start as a child in this thing, and then he went on to, when he was a teen type, or maybe might have been in his early 20s, but Happy Days was the big thing. And then he moved on from there to do directing big time. But yeah, he got his start as Opie. And he's a sheriff, I think, in a town, small town or whatever. I don't know where the mother is, if she's died or whatever, but he's raising little Opie, who's only about 6 years old, 6 or 7. Wouldn't be any older than that. But yeah, that's Ron Howard in that.
Yeah, so this is how I started to realize that I was taken a lot for granted. You know, that I thought I knew this show, but I really don't. Because obviously, I know the theme song, and just flipping through channels when I was a kid, obviously reruns would play. But I guess maybe I never really sat down and watched it. I just felt like I did. Because there were shows like, Beverly Hillbillies, I did watch a lot, or Gilligan's Island, I did watch a lot. I feel like Andy Griffith must have been a show that was also on when I was a kid, but I guess I didn't watch it a lot because this is how out of it I was with this show. I didn't realize, first off, that Andy Griffith, his character is Andy Taylor, wasn't Don Knotts. I knew Don Knotts was in this show.
Whoa. Yeah, Don Knotts. He's the foil. He's kind of the, they always have to have the bright guy and the dumb guy. And Don is the, he's the foil. He's the dumb guy.
And Don Knotts, even I really know from Three's Company, not from this. But as I was doing a little research for this episode, and I'm just flipping through pictures on the internet, I was like, geez, when Andy Griffith got older, he sure does look a lot like Matlock. And then I looked a little further and I was like, oh, because he is Matlock. Like, I just always thought of Matlock as he's just Matlock. I never questioned who actually played Matlock. So yeah, I know nothing about Andy Griffith and his career, clearly.
And I think it's the late 50s that it's started. I'm not sure. I wouldn't say it's the 1960s. I think it's earlier than that.
Well, actually, I do have some notes about this, and it aired from 1960 to 1968, but I can see why you wouldn't think of it as the 60s because Andy Griffith himself said that despite a contemporary setting, the show evoked nostalgia, saying in a Today interview, well, though we never said it, and though it was shot in the 60s, it had a feeling of the 30s, of a time gone by. So, yeah, it definitely is meant to feel earlier than when they shot it.
Okay.
But, yeah, with all this stuff that I've got, you noticed I had an extra number of files in there. Basically, what I realized is that what I do know about Andy Griffith is I knew the theme song, I knew Don Knotts, I know there's a drunk guy who is always in the cell at the sheriff's office, and I know that there's a mechanic named Emmett. And I'll give you one guess how I know this, because it's the same way that I know everything.
I won't even ask.
So yeah, if you click the file called Emmett's Fix-It Shop, you'll see mainly what I know about the Andy Griffith Show.
Okay, let me check this out.
Now let's take a look at a young Charles Bronson's brief stint replacing Andy Griffith in The Andy Griffith Show.
Where's Otis? He's not in his cell.
I shot him.
Well, that's. What?
Now I'm going down to Emmett's Fix-It Shop to fix Emmett.
So that's a two for one. That taught me several important details about the Andy Griffith Show, but also about Charles Bronson. I get both of those together. If you could also click the one Bronson, Missouri, It's not really related to this, but it's just another Charles Bronson thing from The Simpsons that is deep in my brain.
Here we are, Branson, Missouri.
No, Pelly, this is Bronson, Missouri.
Well, how do we get to Branson?
Number 10 bus.
Hey, Ma, how about some cookies?
No dice.
This ain't over.
So he's another good example of, like, I know he's in, like, the Death Wish movies and stuff, but I've never seen a Charles Bronson movie. But, you know, I have a sense of Charles Bronson from The Simpsons.
Yes, well, this is him. This is definitely Charles Bronson.
So, yeah, luckily today we can clear this up, though. I can actually learn something about what the Andy Griffith Show is actually like because, yeah, it turns out I've been putting an awful lot of weight on a 30-second Simpsons joke, you know, and thinking that I knew what the Andy Griffith Show is without actually knowing anything.
Well, let's go check it out and see what a 30s-themed Andy Griffith Show, which was done in maybe 1960 or 1961, was all about.
Sure. So before we kick it off, also, I guess the episode that I got, I picked a random episode. This is season 3, episode 28. It's called The Rivals. But the reason I picked that episode is I managed to find a version that still had the original commercials in it. So that could be kind of neat because it not only has the normal commercials, but it has the sponsored segment where, like, Andy and Barney literally sit there and, like, talk about how good the coffee is because their sponsor is a coffee company. You know, like, it's got all that stuff that they don't leave in when they re-release the episodes. So that'll be a little neat. And then I've also just got my standard Wikipedia summary. So before we kick it off, I'll just yammer a little bit about the Andy Griffith Show so we can get a little grounding on this show. So, The Andy Griffith Show is an American sitcom aired from 1960 to 1968 with 249 episodes. Oh, yeah, maybe we should do this first. The series originated from an episode of The Danny Thomas Show. Have you ever heard of The Danny Thomas Show?
Yes, I've seen some of I won't say a lot, but I've seen a little bit of The Danny Thomas Show.
So, I mean, if I didn't know about Andy Griffith's show, I certainly know nothing about The Danny Thomas Show. But I managed to find that episode. That's Danny Thomas season 7, episode 20, where it was like a backdoor pilot thing. You know, they were already planning on the Andy Griffith show. So to kind of show the network, you know, what it would be like, they brought in Andy Griffith to play an extremely similar character, you know, a small town sheriff on an episode of Danny Thomas. So let's watch that first because I found that also. So we'll watch them both. But okay, so it originated from an episode of the Danny Thomas show. Stars Andy Griffith as Andy Taylor, the widowed sheriff of Mayberry, North Carolina, a fictional community of roughly 2,000 to 5,000 people. Jeez, I wonder if that's like, obviously they just never nailed down how many people, but that's like one of those communities like everybody leaves in the winter. That's quite a population disparity. Other major characters include Andy's lifelong friend and cousin, the well-meaning and enthusiastic but bumbling deputy Barney Fife, Andy's aunt and housekeeper, B. Taylor, played by Francis Bavier, and Andy's young son, Opie, Ron Howard. The townspeople round out the regular cast, such as Emmett with Emmett's Fix-It Shop. Go down to Fix Emmett. Regarding the tone of the show, okay, I just read that before. You know, Griffith said it was meant to evoke nostalgia in an earlier time. And oh yeah, this is pretty crazy of how successful this was. The series was never placed lower than 7th in the Nielsen ratings, and it ended its final season at number 1. The only other shows to ever end their runs at the top of the ratings were I Love Lucy in 1957 and Seinfeld in 1998.
Wow.
So pretty good company to keep.
Wow.
And another thing I've heard of that I guess I don't know anything about is the series spawned its own spinoff about Gomer Pyle. I know the name Gomer Pyle, but I didn't know he was an Andy Griffith character.
Oh, yes. I don't remember. Yeah, I might have known that. But I've seen Gomer Pyle too.
Like an army thing, right?
Yeah. Dumb army guy.
And then after the 8th season, when Griffith left the series, it was retitled Mayberry RFD, with Ken Berry and Buddy Foster replacing Griffith and Howard in new roles. In the new format, it ran for 78 more episodes, but then ended in 1971 after three seasons. But still, for a reboot, usually those reboots fail immediately, so the fact that it lasted three more years is pretty good. However, whenever they try to remake shows, even a show that ended at number one, like you can't get more popular than Andy Griffith was. However, Goober, Barney, and Emmett all made appearances in the series premiere of the new Andy Griffith show, which starred Griffith as a similar but canonically different character, Mayor Andy Sawyer. All three characters treated Sawyer as if he were Andy Taylor, and that series only lasted 10 episodes. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense that they would try to revive it, but yeah, sometimes those revivals, they just don't work.
Yeah, so when you had your day, you had your day. I just thought of Gomer Pyle, his keyword, golly.
Yeah, I guarantee he's been on The Simpsons also. I would have to dig up the clip.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But that little word, golly. I don't know, that just came to me.
All right, so let's watch Danny Thomas first, and then we'll pop back in to say what we thought about that, and then we'll watch the Andy Griffith episode. So yeah, if anyone wants to watch along, Danny Thomas, Season 7, Episode 20. A lot of these are on YouTube, so you might just be able to find them that easily. In fact, I think that's how I found the Danny Thomas episode, is if you just type Danny Thomas and Andy Griffith, and there you go, it'll come right up. So yeah, let's watch that first, because I don't know... Danny Thomas from Adam. I never heard of that man in my life.
All right, here we go.
Nothing at all. Just don't worry about it. That's all. I'll take care of it. He's picked on the wrong guy this time. You'll be mighty sorry you brought me back into town, I'm telling you. You picked on the wrong guy this time, Clem.
Name ain't Clem. It's Andy. Andy Taylor.
Was that show an hour or half an hour?
Only half an hour.
Come on, it had a lot of content in it for half an hour.
Yeah, I think also just because of old-timey stuff, like it's 26 minutes, you know, where nowadays a TV show is 20 minutes, if not 19 minutes. So you do get more of the half hour. Remember that too, like this hour is 22 minutes, you know, like that was the joke of that show, that only 22 minutes is the show, and nowadays it is less than 22 minutes. So that was pretty interesting, because I still feel like I probably, you know, I can't really say I know much about the Danny Thomas show, because I'm sure this was not a normal episode. It literally was just Danny Thomas is in the Andy Griffith show. You know, just Andy Thomas is the one in the jail cell in Mayberry. So whatever his show's normally about, it's like, nah, we're just taking the week off. Today is just Andy Griffith's show.
For half an hour, that had a lot of action and a lot of stuff going on.
So that's interesting too, because like I was saying, I don't know anything about Danny Thomas. So that one little exposure to him, I mean, frankly, in this episode, he was a very annoying guy, very unlikable character. I was like, geez, I wonder if he was like that all the time. And this show ran for a long time, so probably not. But just looking up he himself, seems like the guy himself was pretty great. He was, I guess, the main power behind establishing the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Yes, he's well known. He's well known for that. Yeah, a whole lot of his money went into establishing that. And I think there's now a big trust fund that operates that based on the money that he, you know, that he earned in the entertainment world. He put it into that hospital. And now it's a very famous hospital.
Also interesting, Danny Thomas couldn't be more of a stage name, because that's such a just whatever name, you know, just like North American, super bland, normal name. His actual name is Amos Muziad Yaqub Kairouz, because his parents were immigrants from Lebanon. So he was like, nah, you know what? Just call me Danny Thomas. So yeah, and maybe that's something we can dig into more in the future, Danny Thomas, because yeah, this is all I know of him so far. But yeah, that was kind of interesting, because yeah, it was basically just, it was missing Don Knotts, but besides that, basically just the Andy Griffith show. Although I will be interested to see, since we're watching an episode from season three, I did see somewhere that Andy Griffith said he did change Andy Taylor the character a little bit after season one, because he kind of realized he was supposed to be the straight man, that it's like all the other people in the town that are the, you know, telling the jokes, and he was just supposed to be the one holding everything together. So it'll be interesting to see how he changes a little later on in the series. But yeah, I guess any thoughts about Danny Thomas? That was really just to get us started with Andy Griffith.
You're right. That really is not, that's really the Andy Griffith Show. So maybe at some point you should pick up a Danny Thomas show and we see Danny Thomas as Danny Thomas in the Danny Thomas Show.
Yeah, because that was, it is interesting though, because so often we run into these backdoor pilots that maybe just coincidentally, by the way, the stuff that we watch, but I mean, like we watched Operation Earth recently. Was that what it was called? The Star Trek episode, though, that was the backdoor pilot for...
Robert Stack.
The guy who sounds exactly like Robert Stack.
Robert Lanson.
Yeah, from 12 O'Clock High.
Yeah, Robert Lanson.
We've seen a fair number of backdoor pilots, but they're always backdoor pilots for shows that didn't get picked up. So it was interesting to see this one, where this was a successful one. This time it very much worked. It worked so much that, yeah, I never heard of Danny Thomas. He was eclipsed, which, again, I know everyone of the era must be like, how do you mean you never heard of Danny Thomas? But just the way things filtered down to my generation, you know, you got The Simpsons referencing Andy Griffith, but you do not have The Simpsons referencing Danny Thomas. So, yeah, he just didn't quite make it into my generation.
So there is, wait a minute. So there's not a Simpsons show that mentions Danny Thomas?
I'll do a quick search, but if there is, it wasn't enough to stick in my mind.
Oh, there's got to be. There's got to be.
Yeah, I just did a quick Google and nothing popped up. But yeah, not enough so that that I remember. If there's anything, it was very subtle. Oh, where, by the way, I did look up Gomer Pyle. So how The Simpsons referenced him is... Marge is trying to get Homer to throw away all the junk in the garage. And he's like, yeah, but look at all these boxes of old TV guides. We can't throw these away. All these precious memories. And he just opens a random one and it's Pyle annoys the sergeant. Who could forget that classic episode? Because obviously that happened every episode. But all right, yeah, so that was, I guess, just again, the amuse-bouche to get us started. So let's just hop right in to Andy Griffith. So yeah, again, if anyone wants to watch along on our little TV adventures, this is season 3, episode 28, and it's called The Rivals.
All righty.
Say, Thelma Lou's still sore at you, huh?
Yeah.
I tell you what you do. It never fails. You call her up and say real friendly, real friendly, Thelma Lou, honey, sweetie pie, baby girl, doll face. How about meeting me for a cup of Sanka coffee?
Huh?
I got so much I want to tell you over a cup of Sanka coffee that's made from a blend of rich, flavorful coffees. And since Sanka coffee's 97% caffeine free, we can drink as much as we want. Here, try it.
Sarah, get me 247. Never fails, huh?
Never.
Hello? Thelma Lou, honey, sweetie pie, baby girl, doll face. How about... Hello? Same to you, sister.
Never fails, huh? First time. Try a sack of coffee in the nice-to-hold jar. The coffee for folks who love good coffee. Outstandingly good coffee. I appreciate it, and good night.
So yeah, that's one hidden cost to watching that show, is that theme song is going to be stuck in my head all night now.
Yeah, real earworm.
So I always thought, like, whenever we watch these old shows, I was always disappointed that we didn't get to have the commercials, because I'm like, oh, I wonder what the commercials were back then. I'd love to see the old commercials. But now that we've seen the commercials, it's like, yeah, I guess we're not actually missing much. It's just Sanka coffee and grape nuts and SOS pads or whatever.
They're pretty quick ads, though. You know, each of those ads must have only been like, I don't know, 10 seconds. They weren't really long commercials.
Yeah, in the first one, it was just one commercial. Then the second break was two commercials. And I guess it's kind of, yeah, that's what's more interesting about it, is not necessarily the commercials themselves. It's just to see how commercials were integrated back then. Because the main difference is is, yeah, that they're so heavy on the Sanka coffee sponsorship that they keep bringing it up throughout the show, or at least at the start. But then at the end, yeah, that the actual characters turn to the camera with the product and are just like, ah, delicious Sanka coffee. You know? And it's just, even the end credits had a Sanka logo where, yeah, once they re-released these shows on DVD and stuff, like they scrubbed all that out of there. So it is kind of interesting to see that in the original context.
But you're right, the Andy Griffith character, Andy Taylor character, really changed from what he was in the Danny Thomas show. I mean, he was full of witticisms and sarcastic remarks that were, you know, really downplayed, whereas in this, the actual TV show, he did play just the straight guy. Didn't have the same depth of character that he did in the pilot show.
Yeah, I think I actually kind of liked the original version a little better, but maybe it was just feeling a little too crowded. You know, if all the other characters are trying to do their character stuff, he just realized, you know, I'll just take a step back. But yeah, that was one nice thing about that episode is when I realized it was about the son. First off, because I didn't know anything. I didn't realize it was Ron Howard, but I was a little worried because, you know, usually episodes about kids are real annoying. Or when we watched the Steve McQueen Blob, the only bad parts of that movie were the little brother. It's like, ah, shut up, kid. So at least, you know, Ron Howard, he's not bad. If you got to have an episode about a kid, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he and the little girl too, you know, she came across as kind of like a little bit of a snooty little thing. Yeah, the kids in it were okay. They weren't overplayed, which sometimes you get where the child actor is, in British shows, the British kids always seem to be like just excellent. Like you're just wondering where the heck did they get these child actors? Whereas some of the American ones, they're cutesy and, you know, they're just, yeah, cutesy. That's all I could say. But he was not. He came across as like a normal kid who would be about 8 years old and in love for the first time.
It's pretty impressive, too, just to see someone with that kind of a Hollywood career where, I mean, Andy Griffith himself is a good example. I guess he was a stage actor before this, and he was successful there, but then they brought him on, and Andy Griffith was a huge, huge hit, but then they tried to bring back the Andy Griffith Show, and it got canceled in 10 episodes, but then he had his second hit with Matlock, so it all worked out, but it's really stuff that's not in his control, where I think Ron Howard has, like, the, you know, actors that go on his route probably are the best bet of like, all right, you got in young, you got in as a kid, and you managed to hold on as a teenager in early 20s. But if you really want to have control of your own destiny to any degree in Hollywood, you got to be the director. You know, it's the only way. And so he pulled it off. Like, nice work.
He has a brother that you see in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Clint Howard.
Clint Howard. Yeah.
Significantly less aesthetically pleasing. No offense, Clint.
Yeah, well, there's something different about him, his look. Well, for one thing, he balded very, very, very young. You see him as a young actor, and he's got no hair. But there's also something about his face. I think I've seen him in some space-type shows where he plays kind of spacey-type people, and his face is good for that.
I was actually surprised, though, that speaking of people being the straight man, you know, I guess Barney Fife, he's definitely a more exuberant character than Andy Griffith. But compared to later Don Knotts roles, you know, he's actually quite subdued. Because, again, I knew him mostly from Three's Company. And I still have to question, like, how much do I know about Three's Company, or am I just... do I just think I know about it? Because in my mind, he's always, you know, peeking through keyholes and trying to catch the tenants. And, you know, just like he's very wacky in my mind. But he was actually relatively normal in this show. But I'm probably thinking of like people doing parodies of him, of just like, whoa, gosh, you know, that aren't necessarily how he really is.
Yeah, I think he's known for being kind of like a goofball, and he was not as goofball in that. I thought he would be just, you know, one of those goofy, goofy, goofy types, but he wasn't in this one. He's kind of like a little bit of a, you know, slow, a little bit of a dimwit, but not bad. Not too much so.
Yeah, I'd say again, just you know, we just picked a random episode, you know, so it's always a little weird to base a whole show on just one episode that you saw. But I would say Andy Griffith for me kind of falls in that spot of there's like the really top tier shows like The Waltons and Bonanza, where, you know, if I had them right here on, if I had DVD sets in front of me, I would watch them. You know, I just watch them on my own time because like, I was like, man, those shows are good. I want to watch more of those shows. Where Andy Griffith feels to me like if you were flipping channels and it was on, I would definitely watch it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, this is a nice little show, a nice little vibe to this show. But I wouldn't feel like, God, I sure do. Can't wait till I get off work so I can go home and watch more Andy Griffith, you know? Like, it's just kind of like in the middle of just like, yeah, not a bad show. But I'm not like compelled to go dig in real deep.
I can see it being the very popular type show, though, where you're in the family, you've had your supper, you've made the kids do their homework, and now it's about 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and you want everybody to kind of gear down before they go to bed. And yeah, I can see the family sitting around and watching the Andy Griffith Show at about 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Probably not as late as 9:30, but 9 o'clock, but maybe. And remember, it was from a time when there weren't all these other things that you could watch. You probably lived in a house where there were just a few TV channels, so your selection was limited. So yeah, you'd sit around as a family and watch I Love Lucy, the Andy Griffith shows, perhaps the Danny Thomas show, and everybody would be watching kind of the same thing. So the next day, your kids would be going to school and talking about, what did you see on the Andy Griffith Show last night? Or maybe you'd even go to work. Oh, did you see the Andy Griffith Show last night? Because what else would there have been to do after supper in the wintertime especially? You wouldn't be going outdoors. It's too dark. Everybody's gearing down, getting ready to go to bed. And yeah, there's a nice TV show that's not too stressful. Takes you out of your whatever anxiety you might have had in the world that day. Takes you out of that. Real escapism. I can see that. I can see why that would have been a very popular show. And a show that you could watch with your kids, because there wouldn't be a whole lot of sex. There's a few little innuendos in there, but I mean, nothing that you could watch with a tiny child. You could watch with a teen type. You could watch with a mid-teen or a adolescent.
It is funny, though, how quickly, you know, I mean, well, there's that famous George Bush Sr. quote of, we want America to be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons. You know, the idea of the sort of moral degeneration of the North American family, you know, which is a bunch of hoopla. But I mean, I know what he meant, because it is funny that I'm thinking of in my life when I was like really young that I still liked really corny TV shows. I'm thinking of stuff like Full House, you know, and just like I was young enough to still like be excited when that came on and like, oh, what a cool show. I love this show. Where you and Dad were like, we're not watching that show. That's, you know, like that was not a show that the family would watch. What the family did watch, what we all got together to watch, was Married with Children, you know? Like, we definitely all gathered around to watch that. Maybe Dad didn't, but then with Seinfeld was the show that the whole family watched. And, you know, Seinfeld is quite creepy in hindsight. Like, you remember, like, George Costanza's fiance who died from licking too many envelopes?
From licking envelopes, to get ready for their wedding.
Because he bought the cheap envelopes with the poison glue, and then they play it off like he's relieved that she's dead. Like, that's a dark show. And that's, you know, I mean, a mere generation later, that's what families were watching, gathering around to watch. Like, yeah, there's no way we would have gathered around to watch Andy Griffith. It just wasn't going to happen.
No, but 10 or 15 years earlier, yes, we would have, because there wasn't a whole lot of selection either, which is the other thing. When you kids were growing up, I mean, you could flick channels, and that was the other thing. You could flick channels. You didn't have to get up physically and turn the channels. When I was a kid, there were, well, limited channels, but sometimes if you wanted to see something that was unusual, somebody had to go out on the roof and turn the aerial. You couldn't just sit on your couch with a little clicker and click, 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 click.
So, yeah, it's nice to have a clearer image in my mind now. Now, if someone asks me about the Andy Griffith Show, I'll at least know that he was Matlock. You know, I won't just be a total ignoramus about it.
No, and the acting is good. The, you know, there's a fair amount of action goes on in a half hour show. But it's definitely going back in time to a time when, you know, we think of the 50s as being more saccharine, more calming. Yeah, it fits that bill.